Morning, everybody. Normally, I don't take up the offering, but today we've got a few different things that we're going to go over. We got a baby dedication this morning, and we're going to get ready to do that. But before we do that, I have a couple that has got a testimony that they would like to share with you guys. Now, remember, we are starting to incorporate testimonies into our services. We do this because how many of you guys need a shot to your faith on Sundays, right? I do. I listen to my own preaching, all right? So I don't realize how much of a hick I sound until I listen to myself on the on our website stuff. So but I haven't had any complaints so far, so, and if you do, I don't want to hear it, so. But I have today Jordan and Jasmine they got involved in something that I want them to come up and share. You guys come on up, and God has really touched their heart and spoke to them about a certain thing, and we want you to also, you guys come on up here so they can see you. Yeah, I know, bunch of size. So who wants to start first? Jasmine?
I will, I guess.
All right, go ahead.
All right. So was it last weekend? Last Saturday, Jordan and I went to Chris Tomlin, and he did live Twitter questions. There was a family there who she tweeted to him. Her son has
spinal muscular atrophy.
What he said. It's basically his muscles are too weak to support his body. So he is in Milwaukee Children's Children's Hospital since he's been born. So Chris Tomlin is praying over them, and God is just speaking to me. Like, Jordan and I recently started reading the Bible every night. We started with John. And there was a verse we were reading, and it just stuck out to me. It was John chapter 9, verse 2 through 3. It was after he had healed the blind man. His disciples asked him, why was he born blind? Was it because his parents had sinned, or was it because he had sinned? And Jesus came back and said it was not because of his sins or his parents sinned. This happened so the power of God could be seen him, be seen in him. So God is telling me, you have to tell this family this verse. So I'm sitting there, I'm like crying, I don't know what to do. I'm like, do I go up and ask Chris Tomlin for the microphone so that I can tell them? And I was like, let's not be so dramatic, Jasmine. So then I'm trying to figure out what to do. And then after the concert, I had posted on Chris Tomlin's wall. And the family came back and saw. And they said that we were a blessing to their lives because they saw this. A few weeks ago, Jimmy was praying over people, thank you, to do works of God. And I'm a stay-at-home mom, so I'm like, God, I don't know how you're going to work through me because I don't ever see people older than 3 during the day. And he did, and I am so grateful. My faith has grown so much because of this. He spoke to Jordan, and we had decided that we're going to try to help the family. Jordan has it on his heart that we would like our church family to help raise money to kind of help with the hospital bills, and just let them know that everything's going to be okay because God is with them and the glory of God is going to be seen through their son.
So during, you tweeted, or you saw the tweet up there, right?
Yes.
And you felt like God wanted you to put that up there.
Yes.
And so what happened was the family saw it.
Yes.
And you guys got in contact with the family, right?
Yes.
And so I speak all the time about allowing the Lord to use you in your life, and this is what They have took a leap of faith, and they called me and said, Pastor, I got to tell you a story. And they began to tell me this story. And you guys are going to meet them, right? Okay. And so they called me. Jordan, you called me, right? And you told me the story. And I said, he said, would it be okay if the church family took up an offering for this family? We feel so compelled to do this. And I what was the condition I gave you?
He told me we can take up an offering under one condition, that you and Jasmine go up there, tell the story, and express the need. And I'm all for it. I don't get nervous. But Jasmine was like, can you do it without me? No. But God really laid it on my heart to help this family. Having a little one, having my daughter, I couldn't even begin to imagine the pain that this family's going through. So he laid it on my heart, and I messaged the mom. I said, hey, my wife is the one who posted that verse for you to see. I started talking to her back and forth, and he put on my heart that we need to go meet Bentley, and this is Bentley. This is their son. We arranged it. Hopefully, if everything buffers itself out, Saturday we'll be heading down to Milwaukee to visit Bentley in the hospital, meet his family, just bring the glory of God to them, help them understand that everything will be okay.
And this is this is what I mean about just using what you have and just being obedient to the Lord and allowing the Lord to use whatever you have for His glory. And it could be, you know, I didn't realize God uses tweets, right? That's amazing that he works through tweets. That's unbelievable. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a baby dedication, and then we're going to take up our offering. But what I want you to do is just to pray and ask the Lord, if it's, you know, something that you want to give into, we're gonna bless this family. And I really feel like it's from the Lord. So Jasmine and Jordan, thank you so much for being obedient to the Lord and allowing Him to use you in your life. All right. Thank you guys so much. So if you make a checkout, make it just write a check to New Freedom Church, and then put what's this Bentley? Put Bentley at the bottom in the memo. Okay, if you want to give cash or whatever, that's fine too. You can put it in an envelope and it just earmark it so we'll know that that's what it's for. Okay, kids church. Well, I'll tell you what. Hold on. Let's do the baby dedication. All right, where is my parents with Caleb? Come on up, guys. All right. This is little Caleb. I'm sure some of you guys have gotten a hold of him already and give him a kiss on the head and cheek. And I'm really, really proud of this family, Amber and Jerry. Here's what I've seen, okay? Since I've known them, they've been very faithful in coming to church. Jerry has, you know, he works nights, and in between his schedule, if you work nights, you know how hard it is on your sleep pattern and everything else just throws everything off. But we went through a 12-week men's study here, and Jerry couldn't be a part of it because of his schedule. And he asked me if on Tuesdays we could meet by ourselves to go through it. And to me, I will rearrange my entire schedule for somebody that asked for something like that. And so for 12 weeks we met, and we went through it, and he learned a lot. Both of them have grown in the Lord. They're coming up on a year, and their wedding anniversary, when is it again? The 29th. And really seeing them grow in the Lord, and it's amazing to watch to watch God move in a family, in a young family like this. And so I want to, you have another son here, right? See here? Riker, you want to come up with mom? Or you want to stay right there? You want to, okay. He's good. All right. So let me just describe kind of what it is that I am doing, okay? This service is actually a promise for parents, to you guys. It's a charge to you. By dedicating Caleb, means that his salvation is secure. We're not talking about salvation today. We're talking about dedication. We dedicate children because Jesus' parents dedicated him. And we see that all throughout Scripture where Jesus' mom and dad took him to the temple and had him dedicated. And so because of that, we want to follow the tenets of Scripture as well that recognizes that. In Deuteronomy 6, it says this, 4 through 7. It says, "The Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit at your home, and when you walk about the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." And what this scripture means is that whatever the family has in Christ, they pass it on to their sons and their daughters. They talk about it in their everyday life. They demonstrate Christ when you're talking to one another, or even how you argue, you can still affect your children in a positive way. Whenever you're sitting down at supper, when you're praying, when you're gathering together at night and praying over one another, encouraging one another, everything that you do is teaching your children how to be young men and women of God. And so that's what Deuteronomy is talking about here. Now, I always give a charge as well to the moms and dads, and this is a charge to you, okay? In presenting your son, Caleb, to the Lord, do you promise in dependence upon God's grace and upon his partnership of the church to to teach him the truth of the Christian faith, to set a Christian example before him, to bring him up in the instruction and discipline of the Lord, and to encourage him to accept Christ as his Savior under the guidance of the Holy Spirit? Do you agree to that? All right. And then I'll always, as well, to the congregation, always make a charge as well to you. Do you, as members of New Freedom Church, promise to join these parents in teaching and training this child in the way that it should go, and to trust Christ as Savior and to confess him in baptism and church membership? As you accept this responsibility, would you indicate yes by rising, please? As a church family, the reason why I say this, because as a church family, if you belong to a local church, you are never alone. You are never alone in your struggles. You're never alone in life. The only reason why we feel alone is because we don't make those needs known, right? Sometimes it's because of embarrassment or pride or whatever it is. But if we're a part of a local body, we're never alone. And the reason why I make this charge to you is because it's important that we support young families that are growing in Christ, that are raising families as well. And you know, I was talking to Jerry the other day. We had lunch, breakfast Friday, and was just talking about you know, how it's been, and he, you know, he said it's tough, it's hard, really. But it's very difficult to raise children, especially in this day and this time. And so what I'd like to do is, if I want to invite the family to come up if you want, and we're going to lay hands on them and we're going to pray for them. I'm going to anoint Caleb. So if you don't want to come up, that's fine. That's okay. But if you do, you can come up and at this time, and we'll pray. Hey, don't fight me. All right. All right, let's bow our heads. Mom and Dad, I'm going to anoint you too, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you and I thank you so much for this little child, Caleb. And Lord, we bless him and anoint him in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for his life. We thank you, Lord, for all the talents and his personality and his abilities and every plan that you have for him. We set him aside for your work, for your glory in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, that you would give his mom and his dad wisdom in raising their sons. Lord, that you would give them great patience, Lord, not for just their sons, but for one another. I pray, Lord, that you would cause them to grow spiritually during this time. Lord, that they would be united as a team and not just as individuals. And Father, we just bless their home. We bless everything that their hands are put to in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we recognize that we stand with them as a church family to help support, encourage, and uplift them in prayer in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Father, for your abundant grace in this family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church family, I present to you Mr. Caleb. While the ushers come forward, we're gonna take up the offering today. Before we do that, there's one thing that I want to get into every man's hands today. I just found out about this Catalyst Men's Conference that's going to be taking place April 17th and 18th at Destiny Church. It's a simulcast, which means there's going to be churches all around the country that are going to be watching this conference at the same time via satellite. And the cost is $50, but that includes a full breakfast, a steak dinner, and a full lunch. The first 50 registrants receive a one-year membership to Family Shooting Academy. For real. And the speaker is pastor and author Larry Stockstill, which has an incredible church in Louisiana. It's an amazing, amazing church. And but I'm going to try to get up as many guys that will want to go. So if you're a guy in this place, let me get one of these in your hand. Would you just raise your hand and so we can get one in your hand real quick? You're not a guy? but looks like the door prizes are, they have a new shotgun, a charbroiled grill, a $100 gift card to Dick's Sporting Goods. Man, that's an awesome. Well, I have no control over this one. I was just handed this the other day. So, but I'm going to go. We're going to try to get a bunch of guys to go. So if you're interested in going, let me know so that I can get an accurate account. And what you do to, if you want to go, the information for their website, the registration online, is on the back at destinydepeer.com. And you go on there and register and pay right there. Don't give me any money, okay? Because I'll spend it. So just if you want to go, talk to me afterwards and say, Pastor, I'm interested in going, and I'll go online and do that, okay? So anyway, I wanted to put that in your hands. If you didn't get one, let me know, and we'll get you some more. Everybody get one that wanted one? Okay. You need one? Here, give that to Christy. All right. Well, let's pray. And thank you so much for your willingness also to bless this family. I know that if I had a son or a daughter that was sick, I would want all the help I possibly can get. And I appreciate Jasmine and Jordan being obedient to the Lord. Sometimes we just suppress that and think, well, you know, I'm just emotional about that. But they followed through with that. So thank you very much for doing that. All right. So let's pray. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, Father, for the opportunity to get to give into your kingdom, into your church. And Lord, we bless, we just pray over that family right now. We ask, Lord, that you would touch this little boy's life, that you would touch his body and bring healing to him in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, over the mom and dad that are going through this dark time. I pray, Father, that you would encourage them, that you would uplift them. Lord, that you would give them hope in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for using Jasmine and Jordan. I pray, Lord, that they would be a blessing to this family of encouragement. And Lord, may we be a blessing financially to them in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, that you would bless this offering, bless this time together. Lord, bless the ministry of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much as you give today. While the buckets are coming around, if you want to turn to James with me. We are studying the book of James. We're about 4 weeks into it now. Excuse me. One last thing. We are, for this Easter, starting next Sunday, we're going to be talking about, it's actually Palm Sunday, this coming Sunday, and we're going to be talking about what's leading up to the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. And on Easter, we're doing something different this year. We're having two services. We have one at 9 o'clock and then one at 10:35, okay? And the week of Easter, I'm going to try to put a team together, and we're going to go to some of the neighborhoods and hand out some of these invitations so that we can get the word out, okay? And if you're bringing family, which I encourage you, listen, your family now is more apt to go to church with you than any other time in the whole year, except for Christmas, all right? And so I just encourage you to get those invite cards. They're on the front. They're in the front in the foyer. Grab as many as you want and hand them out to your friends and family, coworkers. Get the word out, okay? So two services on Easter Sunday, 9 o'clock. And then 10:35, so it's your choice, whatever you want, all right? And I'm really praying that there are many people that come to Christ on that Sunday. As a matter of fact, I pray that every Sunday, that even some folks here this morning, will come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. That is the whole point of us gathering together, right? So anyway, this morning we're in the book of James again, and we're in chapter 1. Starting with verse 22, and we'll start. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks into his face at a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." He will be blessed in what he does. Years ago, let me back up. We talked about last week about what our responsibility is toward the Word of God, all right? A lot of us look at the Word of God as this humongous book that freaks us out and overwhelms us because we don't know where to start. Raise your hand if that's how you felt at one time or another. Or maybe you feel that right now. You're like, I have no clue where to start. And because of it, I just don't read it because I don't know where to start. I don't know how to read it. I don't know how to get into it. But James is teaching us what our responsibility is as a believer to God's Word. Each and every one of us, if you're a believer in here today, if you have been called according to Christ, if you have given your life over to Jesus, you have a responsibility to God's Word, all right? And the first responsibility we talked about last week, and we didn't get any further, was that you are to receive God's Word. And the way you receive God's Word is to accept Christ and His teachings to be the authority over your life. That's the first thing. That's the way we receive God's Word. All right? And so we're in number two. Let's pray again before we get any further. Father, Again, I thank you today for the high honor of speaking your word. And I ask, Lord, that you would anoint me to teach your word clearly and effectively. Holy Spirit, anoint me with your word, Lord, to speak life and truth today. And I pray your anointing to be on each and every one of the hearers' ears today and hearts and spirits. God, may we be open to receive your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to talk about two more ways that we are responsible toward God's word. The second way today is to put the word into practice. If you'll notice verse 22, it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Years ago, when I was a principal at a private school, they had a basketball program there, and I started going to the basketball games. And I noticed that we were losing every one of our games. And I couldn't figure out why, because we had a lot of talent on our team, and we had some of the biggest guys in the whole conference on our team. And so after about two or three losses, I started going to the practices, and I realized why we were losing games. And it was because the practice schedule was chaotic. They were learning no plays. They were learning no teamwork. And it was very undisciplined physically as well. And so to fix that, I let the coach go. And I became the coach. Now, I have a long background of basketball in my history. I played basketball all throughout my high school career, and I coached a whole lot before that as well. And so what I began to do is I told the team, we went outside, and I said, "I want you to look at this basketball because this is the last time you're going to see this basketball all week long." And they were like, "Well, we have a game on Friday. Don't we need to, like, hold the ball? Don't we need to shoot? Don't we need to practice shooting free throws and all that stuff?" And I said, "Nope." And I put it down, and I ran them to death for four straight days. Ran them to death four straight days. On that last day, we went in and we played, and they were able to play all the way through their first game. They weren't tired. They started to get into shape, but we still lost. Why? Because they needed discipline. The next week, I ran them for two straight days, and I gave them their very first play. And I taught that play for two straight days, 3 hours each day, and they ran it until they were dreaming about it in their sleep. And when we played that Friday, not only were they physically fit, but they also had a play. And what plays do is it causes teamwork to happen. Because what I was seeing, first of all, wasn't that they were disjointed. They were out for themselves. They didn't pass the ball. They blamed their teammates for wrong plays. They were frustrated every time they got behind in the scoreboard. And it wasn't about team effort. It was about an individual's effort. And so when I gave them this play, they began to work together. And they practiced what was taught. They put into application what was taught that week before. Now, if you look into the NFL or even into high school as well, you see that a lot of the players, they practice, but they also go into the film room, right? And they watch film. They watch film because they want to know what their opponents are going to be doing and their tendencies and so forth. But what would happen if all they did was watch film and practice? Never played. They just want to practice. They just want to watch the film. They'd never get in the game. And you see, the Bible is talking to us today about putting the Word of God into practice. In verse 22, it says, "Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Today, I want to get one thing clear. I'm not talking about a works gospel. I'm not talking about you got to do good works to get into heaven. It's only through Christ and his blood that gets us to heaven, period. Amen? But whenever we come to Christ, our heart is full to do good works. And one of the things that we have to do in order to apply the Word of God to our life is to practice what it says. Verse 22, do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. It is not enough to hear the Word. We must do it. Many people have the mistaken idea that hearing a good sermon or Bible study makes them grow and gets God's blessing, but that's just not true. It's not the hearing, but the doing that brings the blessing to your life. Too many people mark the Bible, but their Bibles have never made a mark on them. And what I'm saying today is that if all we're doing, and listen, we do Bible studies all the time. Every week we do Bible studies here on Wednesday nights, on Thursday nights, on Sunday nights, on Fridays. We have Bible studies all the time. We have Bible studies for kids that are going on back there. We have Bible studies in the front for toddlers. We have middle school Bible study, high school Bible study. We have senior Bible studies. We have family Bible studies. Bible study, Bible study, Bible study. If you don't know the Word, it's your own fault. Can I get an amen this morning? I'm preaching good. I'm preaching good this morning. But here's the thing. Whenever we want to do is just study the Bible, but never bring practical application to what we have learned, we are missing the mark. If you're studying on how to be a blessing to others, God is going to give you a practical way to be blessing to others, to be a blessing to others, as we've seen here in Jasmine and Jordan. And one of the things that Jasmine said was that I'm a mother, and so I'm around 3-year-olds all day long. How can you use me, Lord? And you see what happened? God used her. And so I'm not discouraging you from reading your Bible today, all right? Pastor Jimmy's not standing up here saying, stop reading your Bible. Stop praying. But what I am saying and what I am encouraging you to do today is to put what you know into action. That means putting yourself out there so that you can either pass or fail. How many of you guys, when you first started walking, you remember it vividly? You got up and ran, like you were crawling one day, and all of a sudden you just got up and started running. Remember that? Nobody did that, right? Nobody just got up and started running. If you did, you're awesome, all right? You need to be in the Olympics. But no one does that. When a baby starts learning how to crawl, they rock back and forth first, don't they? They don't put their one knee out, one hand out. They start rocking back and forth. They're figuring it out. After that, they begin to be bored with just crawling, and they start climbing on stuff, right? How many of you guys got toddlers that do that? They climb on stuff. And then what happens is climbing gets kind of bored, and so they boring, and so they start trying to take steps out into the middle of the living room where there's nothing to hold on to, right? And they fall on their bottoms over and over and over again. But that doesn't make them go back to crawling. They want to get up and walk, right? And so they get up and they start walking. And then when walking gets boring, they start running. And then they start talking, and then that's a whole other big deal. But the whole point of it is that whenever you start disciplining yourself to listen to God's Word and then put it into practical application, you're going to fail. You're going to say the wrong thing. You're going to do the wrong thing. You're not going to mean to, but maybe it's the first time that you've ever put your neck out to do something for God, and you fail. I remember the first time that I ever witnessed to somebody. I knocked on this guy's door, and I said, hi, I just want to let you know that Jesus loves you. And he goes, I'm an atheist. I said, I don't know what that is. I was 18, just born again, and I was excited about my faith and scared to death as well. I mean, my youth pastor had to practically push me over there to the door because I was like, I don't know if I want to do this. And so I get up and knock on the door and tell this guy that Jesus loves him and he doesn't even believe in God. Wow, that's quite a first witnessing experience right there. I don't know what to say. I didn't know what to say to him. And I said, well, I don't know what that means, but I want to let you know God loves you. And he goes, get off my porch. And I walked away going, man, God, I stuck my neck out first time. This guy doesn't even believe God. At least you could have given me somebody that believed in God. And you let me fail in a major way. My youth pastor, he came over and grabbed me around the neck and he said, Jimmy, he said, you got the hardest one out of the way. It's all downhill from now. And I'm like, I don't know about that. I said, I don't know anything. And he said, what do you know? And I said, I know that Christ forgave me for all the stuff that I've done and I'm very grateful. He said, start there. Start there. Guys, start where you are. No one can tell your story like you. There's not a substitute in this world for you. You're it. You tell your story like nobody else can. And because of that, God is requiring you to put into practice what you know about the Word of God. Now, in the previous paragraph, James compares the word to seed. But in this paragraph, he compares it to a mirror. And there are different types of mirrors or uses in mirrors in the Bible that God uses. And when you put all three of them together, you discover three functions of the Word of God as a mirror. Let me use this. I was going to bring my big mirror today, but I didn't figure Dana would want me to do that, so I'm going to play like this is a mirror, all right? Okay. So what happens is, and let's look at it in the Word here. Verse 23. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So the first function of the mirror of the Word of God is examination. And we just read the scripture, okay? This is the main reason we own a mirror in the first place, right? When I got ready to fix my hair, to brush my teeth, to make sure my buttons were buttoned in the right spot and everything else, I didn't go into my closet, shut the door, and turn the light off. That's not the place to do that. I went into the bathroom, looked into the mirror, and began to go, oh my gosh, I've got a lot of work to do, right? And so one thing I didn't do is I didn't go in there and instead of standing here looking like this, I didn't go over to the side and kind of peek, you know, at the damage, you know. And what happens is that a lot of times that's what we do with the Word. We're going through something in our life. We've sinned against God. We know it. And we're reading the Word, and what we have read has convicted our lives. But what we do is, instead of intently allowing the Word of God to minister into that sin in our life, we take a quick peek at it like this, because we're ashamed of what we have done. And we don't allow the Word of God to penetrate our heart and our spirit the way it needs to do. And we take our daily devotions and we take 2 seconds and we read it, and then by lunch we can't even remember what we read, much less what the devotion was about. The Word of God, no, when you go into the bathroom to fix your hair or to put on your makeup or whatever it is you do, you're there at the vanity, right? And so you don't just stop right here at the vanity. What do? You lean in, don't you? Well, I'll do that. We lean in. Guys, you're trying to cut around your mustache and your goatee or your beard or whatever. You can't do that back here. You got to get up close, right? For ladies, it's the same thing. I know this because I live with a lady. She leans over and she puts on her stuff. I don't go in there during that time because I get yelled at, so I stay out of there. And so, but when you are focusing in on getting yourself ready on a Sunday morning, you're not just doing this in the mirror. You're not, you know, you're right here, leaned in, focusing in on what you're doing. You're examining yourself in order to get yourself ready for the day. And the Word of God is the same way. We've got to face it full on, lean into the perfect law that brings blessing into our life, brings truth into our life. One thing I love about the Word of God is it doesn't sugarcoat anything. It speaks the truth. The Bible says that the gospel is offensive. How many of you guys have ever been offended by the truth before? Yeah. We all have. We've been offended by the truth. Someone come up to you in love and says, hey, listen, I've noticed this in your life, and I really feel like you need to get this right. You need to course correct before you go into full-blown sin into your life. What's the first thing that rises up? Pride. Anger. Because who are you to point out the sin in my life? Well, the Bible says that our brothers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we're supposed to go along aside one another and encourage one another and build one another up. And that sounds lovely and poetic, but it's hard in application. And so whenever we look into the perfect law of God and we're examining our heart, we lean into it. That means that we spend extra time in the Word, not just reading over chapters and say, hey, I've checked off my chapter today, but to sit and let the Word of God penetrate our life. Because if it doesn't penetrate our heart, if it doesn't penetrate our spirit, we're just like reading another book. And I found out this truth when I was doing prison ministry a long time ago. There was a family member. I went with this guy that did prison ministry and back home. And so it's a small enough town that if you go to jail, everybody knows you're in jail, all right? And so I'm there with another guy. He's playing a guitar. He's singing. And all of a sudden, I look over there, and I see my uncle in jail. And I look over there, and I'm like, what? I went over to the bar. I said, what are you doing in here? And he said, well, I made a mistake. And I'm paying for it. And so instead of judging him, I mean, I was surprised. That was my initial, response. What are you doing in here? And I started sharing the Word of God to him, giving him encouragement. Not, hey, you know the Word of God says this. You know the Word of God says it. You know the Word of God says this. I'm not talking about whipping people with the Word. But I said, and I began to quote scripture to him to be an encouragement to him. And he go, you know what? I know those scriptures. I don't want to hear those scriptures. I know them. God wasn't faithful to me. I know those scriptures. Then he started quoting scripture after scripture after scripture. He knew more scripture than I did. And I stopped him and I said, listen, if you know all of this scripture, what happened? And he said, Jimmy, I contribute it to one factor, application. I didn't apply the Word. I didn't lean in and examine myself and allow the Word of God to take root in me. And because of it, even though that I know all kinds of scriptures, I'm still here in jail, repeating the same habits and the same lifestyle over and over again. And it's because of application. You see, church, if we don't lean in to God's perfect law and allow Him to examine those places that no one else knows about, only you and God, we'll never be set free from it all. We can't look at the Word of God as just a quick glance. We've got to allow it to penetrate our heart. All right? So as we look into the mirror of God's Word, we see ourselves as we really are. All right? James talks about mistakes we make as we look into God's mirror. First, they merely glance at themselves. They do not carefully study the Word of God for themselves. Second mistake is that they forget what they see, which makes sense, because if we're just glancing, then we're going to forget what we see, right? We're going to forget what we've read. So let's look how some of the biblical saints responded to the truth and the knowledge of their own heart when it was presented to them by the Word of God. Isaiah, who was a prophet in Israel, who said this, "Woe is me, for I am undone." Peter cried, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Job was the most righteous man on the face of the earth, and he said this, "I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." You see, when the Word of God is presented to us, no matter how long you've been in Christ, no matter how saintly you may feel, the Word of God always puts us in our rightful place. It always tells us the state that we truly are, not the state that we tell ourselves, but it tells us where we truly are. And we have to respond to that. And the only way to know where we are is by truthful examination of the Word of God into our lives. The third mistake is they fail to obey what the Word tells them to do. We think that hearing is the same thing as doing, and it's not. We Christians enjoy substituting reading for doing, or even talking for doing, right? We want to talk about it. Like, we've got a rummage sale coming up. Well, not a sale, but a rummage. We need to call it a rummage giveaway. And, you know, if I just talked about this rummage giveaway, but we never ask you to bring clothes in, we never asked you to bring your stuff in, then all it is just talk. All it is just rhetoric. And we have churches all around this country that are full of rhetoric, but are not doing a thing about it. And as a church, I want this community to know that Jesus cares about them, that Jesus loves them. It's not so much as getting New Freedom Church's name in the community as it is getting Jesus into the heart of the community. Amen? And the only way we can do that is by applying and receiving the Word, by doing what it says, by not, verse 22, don't merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Now, going back to my coaching days, the boys would be talking smack all week about the team they were going to be playing against on Friday. And again, that's just part of sports. That's the way you do it. If there was no smack, there'd be no Sports Center, right? That's all it is. And so that's just part of sports. But when you're face-to-face with your opponent or your adversary, if all you have is smack talk and you haven't been practicing, you haven't been going over the drills, you haven't been going over the plays, then your true colors will be revealed very swiftly out on the court, right? How many of you guys ever played pickup games and there's always a guy that's got talk, right? Always a guy that's got talk. Got a reason why he missed that basket. Got a reason why he didn't pass it. Got a reason why his ankle's hurting. The reason why his ankle's hurting is because he's doing poorly and he just wants to get off the court, all right? But if... You know, all week long, the kids would be talking smack, and we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And so, but all week long, I'm not talking smack. I'm preparing them to meet the other team. And that translates on the court. So we went, because of the targeted practicing, we went from worst to first in that season. And it's not because I'm a genius. Well, maybe, no. It's not because I'm a genius. It's because I gave them discipline. And I taught them how to be a team rather than an individual. I taught them how to not give up when they're 10 points behind halfway through the third quarter. That's when teams start panicking, especially in high school, middle school. They thought, well, we're behind. We might as well just give up. I'm just going to shoot threes from, you know, half court all day. But it's not about looking at the score. It's about being disciplined and what you have been taught to do and applying it. And not losing your head when you're behind in the game. And it's the same way in your walk with Christ as well. If you're going through a financial situation right now, don't freak out. Don't start loading up on your credit card. Don't start calling everybody. Don't Don't start freaking out and losing faith or cursing God or whatever. Examine your own life and figure out what got me here in the first place. And then once that is established, call upon the name of the Lord. And say, Lord, according to your word, this is where your promises are. According to where I am, I have to repent. And so, Lord, I repent. And I ask you, Father, to help me to be more disciplined in my finances. Help me to be more disciplined in the way I speak. If you're dealing with anger and you have anger issues today, or if you're dealing with swearing and it flows out of your mouth like warm honey, when you get angry, when you get upset, it feels so good coming out of your mouth, but it can't be taken back. If you're dealing with that, look into God's Word intently and see what it says about foul language. See what the Word of God talks about concerning self-control and discipline. And then apply that to your life. Lean into the Word of God. Repent and say, Father, I need you to help me to clean up my speech. I need you, Lord, to help me with my anger issues. Help me, Father, to be more disciplined in my life. One of the last things to go coming to Christ, after coming to Christ, was my language. Man, swearing was like an art for me. I was like a ninja, you know. And I cursed at the drop of a hat because that's what I'd heard all my life. And so I just applied it to my life. I would swear and not even know it. And so when I was very hot-headed and hot-tempered. And so every time I got mad or upset, I would fly off the handle and I'd start swearing. And then the closest ones around me were going, "Are you sure you're a Christian? Because I'm not seeing it." And so when I leaned into the perfect law of God that brought conviction, that first brought where I was, brought conviction, and brought instruction to my life, the Word of God never condemns. It brings conviction and instruction on what we need to do in our life. Amen? And so that's what we need to do as believers, is lean into God's Word. All right? So, if all we have is smack, if all we have is that smack talk, we're in big, big trouble when life hits us. Because the enemy knows where to push our buttons, and that's in our weak places. It's not in our strengths, but it's in the weak places that the enemy tends to get us in a tizzy. So if we are going to use God's mirror rightly, then we must gaze into it carefully and with serious intent. No quick glance will do. So the emphasis in James is on practice of the Word of God. James 1:25, you will be blessed in what you do if you practice the Word of God. The reason why James calls the Word of God the perfect law of liberty is because when we obey it, God sets us free. But we've got to obey it first. I wish that we could come to Christ and that everything sinful, every tendency about us goes away. But it doesn't. It takes work. Because it took a lot of work to get us the way we were, correct? So examination is the first function of God's mirror. The second function is restoration. Exodus 37:8 says, they made the bronze basin and its bronze stand from the mirrors of the women who served at the entrance of the temple of meetings. Back then, glass had not been invented yet, so they had to use polished bronze or metal for mirrors. Moses took those mirrors and made them into a washing basin. The basin stood between the brazen altar of sacrifice and the holy place. The basin was filled with water, and the priest would wash their hands and feet before they went in to do their priestly duties in ministry. Water for washing is a picture of the Word of God and its cleansing power. John 15:3 says this, you are already clean because of the Word I have spoken over you. So the mirror of the Word not only examines us and reveals our sins, but it cleanses us as well. It's the blood of Christ that cleanses our guilt. But the water of the Word helps to wash away the defilement. The third function of the mirror is this, transformation. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into the likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." The word change in Greek gives us the English word metamorphosis. A change on the outside that comes from the inside. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." See, that word change is translated to metamorphosis. You see that a caterpillar is very distinct in what it is, correct? You wouldn't mistake it for a butterfly. You'd know that it's a caterpillar. But God chose to do something beautiful with this thing, with this caterpillar. He caused it to transform in this cocoon. And it wasn't overnight. It was a period where when it surfaced again and came out of that cocoon, it no longer resembled anything that it used to look like. It had wings. It had beauty. It had multiple colors on its wings. Every time we see it, it flies on our nose or on our hand or shoulder. We look at it in amazement how beautiful it is. And in the Word of God, we try to treat the Word to help to overcome our symptoms. But God wants to deal with the problem at hand. You see, we can change habits about ourselves, right? We can read books and change habits, but it's the Word of God that changes the very nature of who you are. So allow the God to cover you, to transform you into His likeness so that we can reflect His glory and not our own. And lastly, our last responsibility toward the Word of God is to share it. Look at verse 26 and 27 in James 1. "If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." So the third responsibility we have toward God's Word is to share it. The word religion translates this way: the outward practice in the service of a God. Pure religion has nothing to do with ceremonies, temples, or special days. Pure religion means practicing God's Word and sharing it with others through speech, through service, and separation from the world. And the thing is, if the world can't tell the difference between you and the world, what kind of effect or what kind of reflection are we giving off? Are we giving off our own reflection, our own hurts, or are we reflecting the Word of God? I encourage you today, church, as I close, to lean into the perfect law of God that gives freedom, that liberates us from sin. The person that's holding you back isn't God, it's you. I encourage you today to be students of the Word of God so that not only can you receive it, you can apply it, and you can give it out. Because that's what it's all about right there. So our responsibility toward God's Word is receiving it, practicing it, and sharing it. Allowing the Word to work and to move throughout our lives. Let's all stand up today. The Bible says that the Word is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. This Word, this life-giving Word, this law of liberty, this Word that we can trust, this Word that we can hide within our hearts, this Word that brings healing, this Word that brings a light into our darkness, this Word that is able to transform, this Word is living today through Jesus. It never died. This word still amazes me, still instructs me, still gives me a sense of where I'm at and what I need to do. And I encourage you today to be students of God's Word, to not just glance at yourself and forget what you have seen, but lean in to the perfect law of liberty that is able to set you free today. If we could, could we bow our heads, and I want to pray over you. As your eyes are closed, I'm going to read the Word of God over you. And I want you to listen with your eyes closed. Just listen to the Word. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Father, today, as our attention is upon you and upon the Word today, I give you permission to examine my heart and my life. And Lord, no matter how painful it may be, no matter how hard it may be to lean in and to take a closer look, Lord, I give you permission to examine me. Lord, tell me exactly where I am. Tell me exactly what I need to do. I give my will over to you. May your plan for my life be the joy of mine. Father, I pray, Lord, that if there's any here today that are dealing with something specific in their life, that they would allow the Word of God to lead, direct, and guide their lives. May it bring conviction, and may it bring instruction on how to lead them out. Today, with everybody's head bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask. I give this opportunity every Sunday. If you don't know Christ today, if you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior today, without any ceremonies, without any big proclamations, you can come to know Christ simply by repenting of your sin. By saying, Lord, I repent today. May you be my Savior and my Lord. I give you my life today. I give you permission to speak into every part of my life. Today you say, that's me, Pastor. I want to accept Christ today. Would you put your hand up and just put it down? I just want to see that today. Amen. Thank you. If you say, Pastor, today I haven't been looking intently into the Word of God because of shame in my life, because of rebellion in my life, I haven't allowed the Word of God to penetrate my heart in a long time. And today, because of the Word that's been spoken, I want to repent. And I want to allow the Word to become Lord again in my life. To look intently into that Word again and allow it to change me. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand, put it down. All right. Father, I come before you and I pray, Lord, over those hands that went up. I pray, Father, that you would begin to, Lord, deal specifically with sin, deal specifically with Lord, things that are not pleasing to you, that are holding me back. Maybe it's bad relationships. Maybe it is my tongue. Maybe it is my anger issue. Maybe it's the way I deal with my finances. Maybe it's how I treat others. Maybe it's just the fact that I don't share my faith at all, and I know I should do it, and I've fallen into sin because I've been disobedient. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, they would repent and allow your word to penetrate their lives today. God, may it saturate them. May you cover them with your word and allow that they may allow your word to lead and guide and direct them again. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Today, as always, if you need prayer for anything, we're going to have some folks come up and you can come up and they'll pray over you. They'll speak the word of truth over you. And so could I have some folks come up just on these sides over here? Maybe you've prayed today for the very first time to accept Christ and you don't know what to do with it. These people can tell you what to do. Or if you need prayer over anything, they're not going to give you a bunch of advice and tell you what to do. They're just going to link their faith with yours and pray over you, all right? So I'm going to pray and dismiss. And if you need prayer, come. Otherwise, you guys are dismissed, okay? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much that you have allowed your word to be spoken over us. Help us today to receive your word, to practice your word, and to give out your word. Father, we ask that you would give us strength to do this, that your Holy Spirit would comfort us and to convict us and to spur us on toward growing in you. Help us, Father, to no longer be just hearers of the word and so deceive ourselves, but teach us to be doers of your word. Doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I want to thank you so much for coming today. You could have been anywhere else, and I thank you so much that you were here today. God bless you guys as you go. Have a great day.